picture if you have somebody else.
No, no.
Quorum being.
How many people do we have on the lab right now?
Yeah, that's what
after the resignations and.
And that's Gabriel who's resigned.
Gabriel,
and
Sally, and Evan.
And Evan. Evan has resigned also.
Well, she hasn't resigned. She's just no longer staff.
Okay. So Gabriel's out. Sally Morris out. And Evan is out. So the total is 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. So I count Julie for this? If she's on leave, I don't count her, do I?
I will be here for, I think,
9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15. I do count Eva though, right?
Mm-hmm.
So there's 17 total, and a quorum is 2/3?
The, okay.
No, quorum
half.
I think it's one more than half. What's our quorum?
Half?
Or one more?
Half plus one.
Half plus
one. Nine. So it'd be 8 plus 1 would be 9.
No, wasn't it
17?
So 8 plus 1 is 9.
So we got less than.
Supposedly greater power back.
7, 8, 9. We have
that.
We
do.
I'm sure of that.
I'm not going to be an employee, but I'll probably the rest of my life. Never
again. The worst employers in the world.
What's
the right wing?
Which is the real mind?
That's for me? They're all live. And this is, I got a little setup for some of
the
point.
Did you get the drinks up in the ice back there?
No. We're not going to do that for a while.
You know, we just
have a more favorite. This also should already have, except for a
Oh, Fred!
Scheduled for next week. I'll call you for next week.
Okay. Oh, we had an actual appointment? We had an actual appointment? Oh my God.
Don't worry.
God.
I'm flexible.
We have position numbers for a quorum right now from lab members, so if we can get started, it's a lengthy agenda. We were really successful in the past two meetings getting through our agenda, but this is reverting back to old ways, to an agenda that it would be very challenging to get through. But here we go. So I recommend to the lab members, to any items that as we go through the agenda that we can possibly table, that we do so, because there are some lengthier issues that we're hoping to tackle, including program council at the end, and that's something we'll be addressing right now in terms of the agenda. Also, the chair welcomes, as I said, tabling of any committee reports as well, unless it's something that really needs to be brought to our attention for this meeting. So let's get started. I'd like to welcome everyone to today's meeting, and if we can all go through some of the processes that we've had before. Do we have a timer? Someone with this timing?
I have a timer, but I didn't assign.
You're doing it all?
No, I can have somebody else do it. I was going to time the listener comment, but I forgot about that.
Okay. And we were a minute and a half for public comment and so forth. Most of this is on the agenda, and we can review it as we go along. The procedure for signing up and so forth.
Okay. You can
have
I just say that?
Yeah.
Okay. We do have, is this on? Put this out.
Yeah,
I guess it is. We do have four periods for listener comment, three spaced throughout the agenda, and then one at the end. Gordon, at the table over here on my right, your left, has the sign-up sheet. And if you would please look over your agenda before you sign up to make sure that you sign up in the period during which there's an agenda item that you want to address, because we want you to address the items within the previous period. The open comment period, if you have a comment on an item that's not on the agenda, will be at the end, the last 30 minutes.
And as we go through the agenda, I am going to propose something that as we consider one of the items, in particular the program council, when more people arrive, if we can have a hand vote as to whether we want to defer that extra half hour of public comment to consider the program council issue, and it's up to you. Otherwise, you will keep it as is.
Let's have another alternative.
Okay, wait a minute. I'm sorry, Bernie.
I think it's fairly controlling to have people sign up beforehand on some of these issues. I might want to say something based upon what has transpired here. So I really would like you to reconsider the sign-up process, please.
Okay. You know, I should have said that during the period, if you comment, if you sign up during a period to comment, when an issue has been addressed, you're free to do that, in addition to the agenda items that are listed on the agenda.
Excuse me?
You know, I know that I'm one of many people here who not only wants more public comments, but also wants to discuss the public, the program council, so I think it's not fair to make us choose between the two. I think we need more public comments.
We're just taking consideration, time consideration. We haven't discussed it yet on the lab.
Let's take a different approach where we get more public comment and discuss the program council.
So we're getting started kind of late. We're also going to have a food and drink break in between because it's going to be a lengthy day. I think that we're going to end up going, whether we adjourn the lab meeting at 3 or 3:30 or whatever, we're going to go beyond that with program council or make it all part of the same meeting. We have to decide that right now. But in between, we'll just have a very short food break. Reza is going to bring us food around sometime around 1 or shortly thereafter. But anyway, we'll have a food break probably around 2. That's what I guess. Okay, let's just get started with, let's go through the agenda then, and lab members, please chime in, adjustments to the agenda. Okay, well, I'll start in. Then with the issue of a program council, which we have positioned, well, we can all comment. We're all going through the agenda, so. Yeah, so with the issue of program council, which we have put at the end so that, number one, we can decide whether we want this meeting to be, that we adjourn after the general agenda and then go into just the community meeting, or if we want it as part of the lab. I recommend we continue as part of the lab and extend the meeting. But that would just be my census. But if the lab chairs can please comment on that.
Chair, I just want to comment on the agenda general reports. That there might be a part in the agenda committee report on the national board meeting.
Oh, it's not on there? Okay. Okay.
Maybe before the motion that you removed.
What numbers do you suggest?
Well, I do whatever you want. I don't care.
Okay, can we decide on one item at a time? What do we want to do about program council, and then let's see where we add Dave. Lab members?
What was the question?
Okay. The question is, there is an item about program council. Okay. We will not have time within the allotted lab time to have that discussion. Do we want to extend the lab meeting, or do we want to adjourn the lab meeting and then have it as a community discussion? I think it should be part of the lab discussion and extend the lab time.
What amount of time are you suggesting to extend the lab
meeting? Till 4:15.
That's an extra half hour, extra 45 minutes.
Well, we started, what time did we start? 12:30, let's say.
And this is timed at?
3.5 hours.
3.5 hours? Thanks.
Okay,
you need to raise your hand.
Does it go at the end?
It goes at the end so that we can just devote all the rest of the time until we run out of time to the item of program council.
Okay, I have no problem.
Because it's very hefty, and we requested the various proposals, and there were certainly more than I had anticipated. Is that okay? We will extend. Okay, no objection. Okay, Dave, where did you want to give your report?
Somewhere near the beginning, I guess.
Okay. Well, we might do it as before the general manager's report, because she's not here. Yeah, she's on her way. Is she here? Oh. Okay. Never mind. Bylaws convention. Pardon? But still, I would like to. I think that yours should be first. Okay?
Madam Chair.
So put it down as 2A? Like right after Tom? Or?
No, before all of this.
Okay,
the first item.
Yeah, okay.
Okay, any other changes?
Yeah, I just wanted to ask, we have a really important memo from Dan Coughlin, Pacific Executive Director. And I wonder if that's coming in the agenda.
Yes, that's coming in the General Manager's report. She had already received it. Let me see what else. I know that I'm thinking of something else. Oh, I guess I'll make my proposal under the IPMB report. Is Carl Gunther here? No. Okay. Okay, so that's it, everyone, in terms of changes to the agenda? Yes, Farah had some. I don't know
how
many
she
made.
Yeah, I have
it.
Here.
Sorry.
Here, we put extras on a table on the side there, Farah. Here. Wait. I'm sorry.
Okay, so then just one more item, the 30-minute listener comment, if we can have kind of a show of hands of those in the audience. Do you want to keep that? That has been our norm for the past couple of meetings. Has worked very well. Or do you want to roll that over to program council? Or do you not want to decide this yet?
Well, what does that mean for discussion during program council then?
It's to roll it over for additional discussion in program council. It's just it's a matter of just buying time for, you know, allotting time. It's how we allot the time. The time is there still for public comment. I'm just saying, do you want to have the public comment on the items on the agenda, or do you want to roll it over to public comment for program council?
Vote.
Okay. Did you have something to say, or do you want to vote?
No, I was just going to say, it seems to me you have obviously an intensive agenda. Why not, on one hand, either severely go within your time limits, which is not likely, or play it by ear, meaning allow so that at the end people are leaving, then you make comments, and then go on to the other matters. Otherwise, you end up with a handful of people.
We haven't had that experience. In the past two meetings, we have not had that experience.
We're at the end of the time.
Okay. Okay, well then, we'll just leave it as is for the moment. Let's move on. Approval of minutes August 8th and September 5th.
I heard from several people by email, but not all of you, regarding September 5th.
What was the question?
Approving the minutes.
The minutes,
we need to vote.
September 5th.
We need to vote first on August 8th minutes. I didn't bring copies because I've given them out several times and sent them by email.
But and then, isn't August 8th where we're incorporating a resolution that was not previously incorporated, or no?
Yeah, I think August 8th, I think, still has a problem because we haven't worked it out.
But isn't it just a matter of reading that proposal into the minutes, Veronica?
Yeah, I could read it.
Do you have it?
I can read it.
Is that the only thing that's holding it up?
There's a little bit more. I think we should postpone it till next time.
Okay, but can we get that portion out of the way?
Or would you? I've already got it from her.
No, can we get the process of having it read publicly so that we can incorporate it into the minutes?
Okay.
Okay. No, if there's no objection to that, Veronica.
Okay, do you want to pass the mic?
Oh, I'm sorry. I thought there was one every
time. I thought you and Marty showed up.
It might not work because I've got to record the recording. Maybe I should take this off.
What I'm proposing adding is under the second starred item that says KPFK Lab, maybe guidelines are red. I'm proposing this change to, as requested from the July 25th and 31st executive meetings, Sally and Veronica wrote an opening statement on concerns and expectations to be read at the beginning of this local advisory board meeting, referring to the statement suggested in Leslie and Farrow's proposal. Unfortunately, when handed to the chair perused them and unilaterally decided not to present them nor discuss them at the meeting. Instead, the chair read Leslie and Farrow's proposal, which had not been approved by the lab, and then see notes 1 and 3 again. And note 3 is the inclusion of the proposal that Sally and I have written.
No, but that's what you need to read. Is what was not read at that meeting, we are reading now and incorporating into the...
Okay. In this critical, I'm reading now, can
you... Sorry. Loudly, please.
Can you hear me now?
Yeah.
Okay. This is the speaker's actually behind me here, so it's hard to call me. KPFK local advice... KPFK local advisory board meeting for seniors. This was from Sally herself. In this critical time, we need to make a concerted effort beyond ideologies to show respect for our brothers and sisters. We feel it is essential to the future of KPFK to retain our current active listeners and bring new active listeners into the KPFK family. In this regard, we desire to not alienate listeners by disruptive and disrespectful conduct. All listeners in attendance at lab meetings have the right to speak to the full attention of those present, lab members and listeners alike. Though everyone has the right to disagree, no one has the right to be destructive, speak during another's floor time, or make personal attacks. To this end, the lab is instituting procedures that we believe will lead to respective, efficient, and informative meetings. We will be using it's turned into a microphone as opposed to a little globe.
Just read it as is, please.
Okay, we will be using a world globe symbolic of our dedication to the earth to designate who has the floor at any given time. Should anyone behave in a disrespectful or disruptive manner, i.e. personal attacks, cursing, or threatening behavior, the lab will ask the person to leave immediately. If the person refuses to leave, the lab will go into closed session to deal with personnel and financial matters for the next 15 minutes. If the disruptive person leaves within that 15 minutes, the lab will again open its regular public meeting. The 15 minutes that were lost would come from the comment period still available. If the disruptive person does not leave, the lab will be forced to discontinue its public meeting for the rest of the evening. In order to productively accommodate as many listener comments as possible during the limited time of a lab meeting, listeners will have 45 minutes of comments during the first 2 hours of the meeting. The comments will be divided into three periods of 15 minutes each, addressing one topic per period. Comments during those periods must be on point to the topic at issue. Each speaker will have 90 seconds maximum to address the topic. Priority will be given to speakers who have not spoken during the previous comment period. The final 30 minutes of a lab meeting, minus any time spent on disruptions, will be a listener comment period addressing any topic of that meeting or any topic that the speaker would like to have addressed. Each speaker will have 90 seconds maximum. Priority will be given to speakers who have not spoken during the previous comment periods. Please be prepared so that you can be concise during your time to speak. That way, when your 90 seconds are over, we will have heard your valuable suggestions or questions. We all look forward to more peaceful, productive meetings. Thank you.
Point of clarity, Madam Chair. I just want to clarify for people in the audience that what we heard was a proposal that is going to be put into the minutes of that meeting a proposal which was not passed by the board. Am I correct? It was a proposal, but it was not did not become board policy.
No, it did not. And we'll continue the discussion about those about the meet. I don't think this it doesn't feel very wrong. Anyway, we'll continue the proposal about those meeting about the that agenda item is tabled until the next meeting because it goes into a lengthier discussion.
That
can't hear me?
It's not working.
Okay. So the approval of that agenda will the rest of the discussion, we just wanted to read that resolution into that proposal, rather, into the minutes for now, and it will be further discussed at a subsequent meeting. Next is, you're continuing with the approval of September 5th. Is everybody okay with September?
Did we vote on September 5th?
Well, you tabled it.
Oh.
And then I said if we could just have that portion at least read into the minutes, and we'll have the rest of the discussion next time. Is what you had recommended, right? Okay.
Yes, I have a couple of inaccuracies in the September 5th. If I have the most current draft, which I'm not sure that I do, I have a couple of objections. Item number 4, August 8th, was not approved. In fact, it was tabled. And number Roman numeral 6, the notes for executive meeting July 31st, 2002 were approved. This says not approved. It was approved. So I'm not sure that I have the most up-to-date minutes, but those are my corrections to that.
Okay. I'm looking at the minutes that I have say that August 8th was not approved.
And it was tabled.
And it should say, and it was tabled?
It was tabled. It wasn't that it was approved or not approved. It was tabled.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And then Roman numeral 6.
And you're saying that they were approved, the
31st? They were approved. Executive minutes, the meetings for the executive session.
Okay.
July 31st.
Okay, let me just check on that.
Okay, well, she's checking on that. If we can also look at the executive meeting minutes for August 29th.
I never received August 29th.
Do we have August 29th in hard copy?
Yes, I passed them out.
Oh, okay.
No, not August 29th. That's September 24th. The 29th I passed out a couple times and emailed, but maybe Veronica and I are just missing each other. And I'm going to resend them to her.
So I request August 29th be tabled because I haven't read
okay.
it or received it.
If there's no objection to tabling August 29th, we will table that. Okay.
I just have a little request. If people don't get the meetings minutes because I send them out within 2 days, could you let me know? Because it would streamline the process.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Yeah.
Thanks. Yeah, the 31st is correct. That's correct. It wasn't.
Yeah, I'm not getting Marty's things either. We were having email delay problems as
well. I don't know.
Maybe I should start mailing things.
Might be faster.
Okay. So now we're looking at September 24th, minutes for September 24th. We do have a hard copy before us.
But can we vote on the 5th with the approval, the changes she said? She gave 2 changes, which I say are okay for the 5th. Can we vote on that?
Okay. Okay, so if everyone's okay with the changes that Veronica stipulated, the corrections, Sarah?
Yeah, I'm fine.
Okay.
I passed on this mic for you, so you can pass that down.
So do we need to raise our hands?
Sorry.
Yeah, and then we have one here.
This one is the one that works. Okay, any objection to... Okay.
September 5th.
To September 5th. We're on September 5th. With the corrections as noted from Veronica. If not, then they're passed. Okay. Then let's move on to September 24th, hard copy in front of us.
It has a little orange pencil mark that says draft.
Hello?
Is it
the same as what was passed out on email?
I see a huge problem with the September 24th because you actually could not have a meeting because of the fight. And if there was a question if it was executive or not, what subjects could be discussed or not. So I don't even think that it was a formal meeting or it couldn't really get.
So are you recommending then what? What is your recommendation?
Well, I think you could put that as a draft of a minute of something that tried to happen but didn't happen. Okay. Then no. Okay. For the meeting that tried to happen, but that didn't happen on September 24th. Please write it down that way.
No, because there was a. Unfortunately, because the, you know, we started with a report from our general manager, and she got in an argument with that. So I mean, we couldn't.
But there were issues raised prior to that. We had been there for almost 2 hours
by
that point.
The issue was only about what if the meeting was executive or if the meeting was not executive. I mean, everything seemed that we couldn't discuss it because it was a part of the executive meeting, and by the time we got to the report of the GM, then, you know, the fight came about, so I don't call it a meeting, really.
I object to that. I object.
Okay, Marty?
Yes, you did this one. Yes. I think that we did get good information out, and the reason for having these minutes, notes from any meeting that we get together, is to share with the listeners. I'd like to see them approved and posted to the lab website so listeners can see them, because there was important information discussed before the meeting disintegrated. And the notes do indicate that the meeting disintegrated, so that's included in the notes. So I think they should be posted, approved and posted.
Then I suggest that the rest of the minutes for the rest of the meeting that continued for about another extra hour be also added to this.
Madam Chair.
John.
Well, I actually respectfully disagree with Farah. I believe that there was a meeting that actually took place. No individual was solely responsible for the disintegration of the meeting. There's plenty of, we won't go into, but there's enormous dynamic problem, functioning problem, and so on. So the meeting ended, and I believe, I disagree with her, that what happened after that was quite informal and could not be considered any kind of formal executive session of the board. I think the minutes here pretty much reflect the official portion of the meeting, but I don't know how anyone could have actually accurately copied down and reflected what happened after the meeting was adjourned.
What I would like added to the notes, if we are to use this, and I know there's still discussion about it, is that Eva did give a full report, the second paragraph of which I sent out to the lab last night, and I don't think any of us made a printout of it in terms of personnel.
I did.
Oh, you brought it?
I brought it.
Oh, great. Okay. And but it was like the second paragraph is what she had run through at the executive at this executive session, and I would like just have that incorporated into the
so
paragraph.
Madam Chair.
Yes, Farah.
Okay. This is how.
Excuse me. I'm so sorry.
The meeting was never adjourned. That's number one. People
I did.
Just
I adjourned it.
I heard it.
Me too.
Quasi continued as the co-chair. Unfortunately,
he started a new meeting.
He's not here. The other problem is because it never became formal, because it was said that issues that were reported there was not to be reported to the executive meeting according to David Furtick, right? So the issues for executive meetings are issues that cannot be discussed in public, right? According to you. Yeah. The report that Eva put out there was nothing that could not be discussed in a public meeting.
Okay, well, I recommend that we table this until the next meeting. This is becoming a lengthier discussion, and we will have to continue it, otherwise we won't get through the agenda. If anybody wants to move to table this?
So tabled, okay.
Any second?
Norma, you don't have to. Somebody just has to move to table.
We'll work on it again.
And it gets seconded. Yes, okay. So moving along with the agenda is going to be new business, or actually this is kind of an old business, new business proposition here by David Burdick, the ITMB report that I think that probably more than one of us will participate in. Go ahead.
How much time?
Oh, we haven't
said
that word.
Yeah, for those of you who don't know, the international,
okay.
the interim, excuse me, the international. Interim, Now, there is a complete 1.5-page report, which I prepared and gave to each of the lab members. There's a stack of them. I got a little late, so those of you that came in on time missed them. If you came in and checked the table, there's a list. There's a stack of them. I'm not going to sit here and read the whole thing, but I'll summarize it briefly. There was a retreat of the board. It was facilitated. It was extraordinarily beneficial in working amongst the rather diverse and problematic dynamics on the national board. It was very contentious, very difficult, very productive. And I think it led to the 12-1 vote to return the offices to Berkeley because the dynamics on the board were so, we were able to work through them with the tools that we got in the facilitation, which was really helpful. As, of course, the bylaws meeting on Friday, the Friday of the basically 4-day meeting, including the retreat, we spent the day talking about bylaws. It was not really a board meeting per se because we were not in a position to make any decisions. It was not an agendized or announced meeting in that sense, but it was an open meeting. It was made available for broadcast. I think it was broadcast in some stations. It was not broadcast here. But the during the day, we reached a straw vote results. Now, furthermore, during the remainder of the meeting, some other straw votes were taken by the National Board relative to the bylaws proposals. I see there's a chart provided here of those. I also provide a copy, again, attached with this report and on the table. I only made about 15 copies, but for the audience. But the point is that they're available. Carol Spooner's notes is what they are. Many of you have those already on the internet, but those of you that don't have it on the internet, then save the copies for those folks. At the board meeting in the evening, or during the day, it opened with presentations from the various bylaw proposals. Version A from WPFWB, the KPFA model drafted by Spooner and KPFA. And then the version D, the KPFA bylaws convention, community conference, unity caucus proposal, as well as the New York City unity caucus proposal and the PAC proposals. For each given 15 minutes presentation, the KPFA bylaw subcommittee conference proposal was presented by Margot Ashley-Ferran and Rafael Renteria. The proposal that I wrote was not presented in that sense. It was there, but it was not given a presentation, which was a matter of fact. The bylaws discussion continued that day and again over the weekend, and again, the straw vote results are available on the table for those of you that did not get them by internet. And I believe they're also posted at pacifica.org under bylaws documents. We heard presentations regarding affiliates, and there was an agreement by the board that we need to incorporate the affiliates in the board governance structure somehow. How to do that had not yet really been hammered out. There's a lot of ideas floating around. We need input on that. It was agreed that they'd only pay 2/3 of the former rate because there's not that much programming for them to use, and they frankly feel that they have more to offer to us than we to them. And as a gesture, we reduced their rate down to 2/3 from what it was in 1998. The editorial positions that were taken for the first time, I believe, by Pacifica were against the death penalty and against the war about to be started by the United States government. The editorial policies are rather extensive, and they should result in editorials we heard on there pretty soon. The budget, the first time in I don't know how many years, was passed. It's a deficit budget, but not by much. And the deficit, frankly, out of a $12.3 million budget, the deficit's about, I think, $600,000. And, probably $400,000. And it's probably going to be offset by both increased fundraising, because we're going to be doing a lot of that, right? Mm-hmm. Reduced costs, and more importantly, that the $1.5 million in outstanding so-called debt, a lot of that's not ever going to be paid, and a lot of it will be reduced. So I think we'll be able to come out of this budget pretty strong. But a significant debt was actually passed for the first time in years. We heard from the archives, we heard from the Pacifica webmaster, those of you that have visited the website have seen this improvement. The station reports were truncated to permit time for bylaws discussion. So like I'm doing now, they gave a brief sort of summarized report. And then there was a discussion about the Berkeley move. And without belaboring it, it was approved. And one of the issues that had been previously raised by the National Board members relative to the Berkeley move was that there were concerns raised by the auditor, the CPA, that it said, don't do it, don't do it. It's too hazardous. Well, that same fellow, Ross Wisdom, submitted a subsequent letter indicating the conditions under which he felt that such a move would be reasonable, and which included a timeline essentially resulting in the move occurring in March of next year. With those assurances and with a whole lot of discussion and so forth, the move was approved 12 to 1. So the national offices will be in Berkeley ostensibly by March of 3, maybe before then, maybe a little bit after that, but that's the plan. The next, the race and nationality report was given by, among others, Rafael Renteria and Stephen Connolly. And it showed there's a lot of progress around the stations, but there's still a whole lot to be done, and there's a lot of different ideas, and we've been so busy on other matters, there's not been as much work on that as there should be. I think we really need to keep this issue in front of our faces. The race and nationality issue is really vital. I think it's at the core of a lot of the problems that we're dealing with in this network. The special meeting was called for October 13th and 14th next weekend. Is that right? In Washington, D.C. The reason D.C. was selected finally was because the amount of staff and lab members, and I mean national board members and so forth, that have to be transported to these meetings, it makes it a lot less expensive. Unfortunately, we weren't able to do that. We had the decision made, what I was clamoring from the outset to have this decision made quickly. It was finally made, I think, a week ago Friday, and so it's going to be at the Madison Hotel. It's 15th and M Street downtown near Thomas Circle. I don't know. I damn well better. If it's not an Indian hotel, then we're going to have a problem. If you could check that out for me, Sharon, I'd appreciate it. The Madison Hotel. I'd appreciate that. Thank you. It's very important. I'd be amazed if it's not. Particularly
Internet connection?
I know it is on 15.
The website for the Madison Hotel, I do not have. I don't know the URL.
Can you webcast? Do you have a DSL line or a cable line?
You can do a Google search.
I have not ascertained what resources are being organized in order to ensure webcasting of this meeting. However, if Reem Katuda and Errol Maitland are on the planet, it will be webcast. And I believe they're on the planet most of the time. That's my reporting.
Okay, I'd like to open up a couple of issues. One is, let's see, where should I begin? The assets issue. We had a proposal from Evan Davis regarding this.
Number 7 on the agenda. We can move it.
Oh, it is already on there?
Yeah, it is.
I thought that we had to. Okay.
And then
okay,
it would
okay,
be comments
okay,
right after.
Okay, forget that. Okay, let's move. But my other issue is, regarding the special meeting and regarding the timeline for the, developing a draft for the bylaws, Carl Gunther was very, very good at immediately, like almost overnight after we received Carol's summary of it, is putting it on the grid in terms of the straw poll, which I was like really happy about. The grids are extremely useful once you're maneuvering through this. And I was going to impose on Carl again without his knowledge of continuing with that process once that straw vote is taken at the 13th and 14th. Do you think you could do that? That is the premise of my next proposal. If that is done. Okay, thank you. And so if we can have that, then I am going to recommend, and I would like to have the lab consider my putting this out to the national board, is that right now their plan, or at least the input that I received from Leslie Kagan, was that after the straw vote on the 13th and 14th, that within the week, the bylaws committee and or chair will be generating a draft for consideration, the draft that eventually the labs will either be giving input on at subsequent to that or voting on directly. My recommendation is going to be that before that draft, they get a sense of the labs. And just in terms of the mechanics of it, is I'd like to see an extended grid like this one with the columns for each of the labs to vote and register their votes for and against each item, so that when the national committee developing that said draft have a sense of the local advisory boards even before they actually synthesize that draft. And I recommend that happen in a two, at least at the local level, the following week, so that we would have a lab meeting here, for example, for 2 days, where Saturday we would have open comments from the listeners giving us input on the straw vote that comes out of the national board, and then on Sunday that the local advisory board hold its own straw vote based on the input that they have received and on and the draft and so forth, and that would be the second day of that 2 day period. That following that registering of our straw vote for and against, so they have a majority and minority sense of things, be sent to Carol Spooner or that the entire bylaws national committee to take into consideration when they are drafting, writing the draft. That's a proposal.
Okay.
Everybody fall asleep.
Tom, where is this on the agenda?
This is part of the IPMB report.
Okay. First of all, since this is being given as our official report, I have a couple of corrections to make on Dave Ferguson's report. Under the section where it says bylaws, where everybody supposedly got 15 minutes, PAC did not get one of those 15-minute sections. We only got 6 minutes.
I'm sorry. Thank you.
Secondly, when the KPFK unity proposal was presented by Raphael and Margolo. That was after we had actually demanded it of Leslie Kagan. The issue as to whether or not we were going to get through the bylaws during that time in Houston was very obvious, and it was mentioned to the chair both Friday, Saturday, and Sunday that doing it that particular way and not taking the major important issues out of order so that we could get the input of all the listener sponsors that had come from all over the country to that meeting. We were unable to do that, and therefore they had to set a second meeting, which we did not know where it was, and consequently it was only told several days later, so that it was very difficult and expensive for anybody to get tickets or to even go to it. So I believe that was pretty hokey. I was very unhappy about that, to say the least. The decision that we had made here at this lab to ask for an extension of the time to have this these bylaws put together should have been done on Friday morning. That was when we had our initial major bylaws start discussion, and that should have been the first thing that came up, because they were going headlong into making sure that it was going to come out ASAP. So that motion should have been done then.
If I could respond.
Sure.
Yeah, first of all, that motion could not have been brought Friday morning because we're not in a plenary session. It was in the agenda, it was on the agenda, it was in the board package book, both motions from KPFK Lab, which I brought to the national board, were there, and I argued with Leslie extensively to have those brought, and she said there was not enough time. I disagreed with her, and then during the meeting, those there will recall, I sought to at least have a straw vote done on it to show the support for it, and that was also denied. I should also point out that I myself as well urgently and repeatedly urged Leslie to ensure that the KPFK proposal be put on. I didn't see any resistance from her on it, but I made sure repeatedly that it was going to happen. When you say that you argued with her, did she actually tell you she was not going to let that happen?
It was not happening, and until a delegation from Los Angeles here, i.e. eight of us, walked up to Leslie Kagan and said, we need somebody to be saying the points for the unity proposal. It did not happen.
Well, okay, my understanding
is... Okay, do we want to continue?
I just want to say, my understanding was throughout...
Wait, hold on a second. Okay, hold on. We're at time.
Yeah.
Do you have more?
Can
we extend... May we extend the time, Tom? How much? 1 minute? 1 minute.
Yeah. No, I have no problem that some of these things were done. What I wanted to make sure people understood was that the chair, i.e. Leslie Kagan, was manipulating this whole situation. And I was very disappointed, as you were, Dave, that she would not allow these substantive issues to be discussed. That was the time, that was the place, and it didn't happen. And I believe it was done by a professional chair.
So what do you want done to the this report? You want to table?
No, I already made the corrections to the report. So.
What do you, where? That was it. Your that lengthy. What you just said. You want is your correction to the report?
No, I made specific ones already.
And where are they?
I've got it.
Oh, you've got
yeah.
them.
Okay.
Okay. Well, then we'll see it because we'll as a board table it and see. We'll approve that report at
the next
meeting.
The next point would be to your motion, okay, because you have
right.
very specific motion.
I have a motion.
And as you can see, I also have one that deals with the specifics of the bylaws that we're trying to see which of the labs have a consensus on which issues. And there's a list of about 30 issues here, and I'm trying to get some feedback so that we can either make the list smaller or extend it, which one should not be here. But all we need are 3 out of 5 that will agree, and then we can say to the PNB, the Pacifica National Board, that if these particular things are not in your proposed bylaws, the PNB proposed bylaws, we will vote against it. That is the only power that we have at this moment, because they did not listen to logic, they did not listen to hundreds and hundreds of meetings by bylaws committees around the country, they did not listen to thousands and thousands of hours that were poured into here. And I will cite specifically that all 6 proposals had specifically said that we will have yearly elections. And the Leslie chair, the Leslie Kagan, the chair, said, you know, I think 2 years would be a good idea.
Okay, now we're going off topic. Now you're just having this as a separate proposal. I am going to recommend, number one, that we not vote on this until we have heard listener comment. And Dave, you had your hand up, but if you can just add it to that portion. We go out of
point of information.
Okay.
You mentioned 30 items. The labs vote on issues relating to the number and manner of election of local and national boards, so not all of those issues will be put before you.
Exactly.
If it doesn't pass, just keep in mind that the default is we go back into court and have to litigate the question of lab members as members of the foundation.
So in my proposal, in terms of the grid, Carl, for the purposes of what I had recommended, it would only be those items that the labs are charged with voting on. And it may be that the methodology could just be voted on if we can agree, again, after public comment, to have 2 days, and that would be the following Saturday and Sunday calendar, anybody? 19th and 20th. And so again, we won't vote on this until we have the first section of public comment. So if you want to comment on that, please sign up.
I'd just like to ask you how you see this convention coming out differently than the bylaws convention we've already had. What do you think the different outcome is going to be this time?
The difference is because now this is specifically based on a national synthesis and a straw vote by the national board. We're getting down to the nitty-gritty. It's a process of honing things down. Consideration, for example, after that, if we were to have a meeting after they come up with a draft, that will yet be another point of a separate, farther down the road point of reference for us to chime in on.
Okay, so you think we will move away from the unity proposal?
I didn't say
that's not
a
little clarity. Thank you.
And the clarity too is that all the lab members will be notified ahead far enough that they'll be able to come, right?
To
the 19th and 20th.
Oh, to the 19th and 20th, and to everybody else. Yes, I mean all of the interested parties, staff, lab, public. Everyone can just please come. We encourage everyone to come. This is like the moment when you have, Dave can't be there, and we will record the meeting and get you a tape. And anyway, so we will take a vote on this after some listener comment. Again, if you want to comment on this, please sign up.
I would like to speak to that issue. You just said that this would be helpful to the PNB. Unfortunately, I don't believe it would be helpful to the PNB. And the reason being is that in the 6 proposals, we all said 1-year elections. She said 2, and within 3.5 minutes discussion, they voted on 2. Right. In other words, all the proposals were set aside.
Right, okay, so this
is... logic is not necessarily the thing that will prevail. I think what we need here is power.
But I'm saying that's a separate discussion. Right now, the only thing that we're going to vote on today...
Well, you were answering the lady saying why this would be different, and I don't think it's going to be different.
Okay? I see, okay.
The lady...
Oh, is it a point of clarification?
I won't dispute it. Uh-huh. And that is, since in order to have the power you talk about, you need to get three of the labs together, you should include some part of the process where there's a coordination step between labs so that you can tell.
We're doing that.
That's the point. And that'll come up during my Council of Chairs report. Okay, so we're moving right along is the General Manager's report. And I think, Vera, did you say you had the printout of last night? Did you give her?
Yeah, I did.
Oh, okay, great. Oh, and I want to also mention, if you want access to Carl's grid, if in case you did not receive it by email or some other source, you can go to the local advisory board's website, stationadvisoryboards.org, and it's there, and you can print it out from there. Okay. Eva?
Hi, everyone. We just want to be thankful of the listeners and the lab, volunteers and the staff for the support. I know that the station is in a difficult time right now. And management met with Dan Coughlin over the last couple of days. To try and address the concerns that was raised both by staff and listeners as well as the lab. And has come forward with some resolutions to move the station forward. So I'm gonna start with these resolutions and then just do my general report. So I'm gonna read this up. It's addressed by Dan Coughlin, and this was just finalized this morning at about 11:30. To KPFK Lab, staff, and community. KPFK 90.7 FM is one of the jewels of the Pacific Radio Network, reflecting a remarkable and diverse community of impassioned listeners, activists, paid and unpaid staff, local advisory board members, and station management. At the present time, the station is going through a period of transition, and there are sharp differences as to how to move forward. Clearly, we need to find a way to negotiate power, to embrace methods and structures that can allow a common space for different points of view that allow for principled disagreement without battlefield tactics. To that end, and with the input of paid staff, the lab, and station management, Pacifica and KPFK management offer the following points for collaboration that will allow the station to effectively carry out the Pacifica mission at this critical time in world history. The resolutions are as follows. KPFK management and staff recognize that decisions around programming at KPFK will benefit from broader input. As such, management and staff look forward to the formation of a representative program council as a major priority. Station management, the lab, and staff will evaluate the program council after a 120-day trial period. The second resolution, with input and comment from the program council, KPFK management will outline its programming vision and objectives for the station. In the meantime, no major programming decisions will be made except any changes that may be as a result of breaking news and public affairs specials. Third resolution, KPFK management will issue written personnel policies and procedures. Further, there will be a hiring and firing freeze at the station until those policies are issued, except essential hires and the existing hire process presently underway. And I will identify those positions later on that we're busy hiring for. In the meantime, KPFK management will continue to abide by the terms of the existing development union contract, which we refer to as the UE contract. A review of the general manager's performance will be undertaken in a timely manner, welcoming input and according to normal Pacifica procedures and under the direction and control of the executive director. The fourth resolution, KPFK staff and management recognize that timely intervention on issues can eliminate the cause for most grievances. In the event that internal station conflicts cannot be immediately resolved, KPFK management will recognize the existing relevant union contract grievance process for all staff employed by KPFK for more than 4 months. Management and staff will negotiate in good faith the status of KPFK temporary staff employed in the station for more than 4 months. Resolution number 5, KPFK management and staff look forward to the continued formation of community collectives utilizing the processes outlined by the KPFK collective guidelines. Station staff and managers recommit themselves to providing all the support necessary for the nurturing of collectives. 6, KPFK management will develop a plan specifying how communication between management and each of the station constituencies, paid staff, unpaid staff, volunteers, lab, listeners, will occur on an ongoing basis, including whatever specific mechanisms by which this communication will occur. Pacifica is faced with an unprecedented crisis of militarism and fear in the world around us. Let us not forget that in such an environment of state and random terror, Pacifica shines for many as a beacon of hope. The challenge for all of us to make our way forward is historic, and it is to that challenge we must all rise. This has been discussed with the staff as well, so everybody has agreed to these resolutions. And Fred Cahay will later speak about some of the areas, some of the actions we will take in terms of the staff retreat. We're also looking at doing a strategic planning. The staff retreat is scheduled.
You timed out, so we're going to, can we extend the time? I move that we extend it another 5 minutes. There's quite a bit to decide.
But I agree.
I have a couple of things to go through, but the staff retreat is scheduled for October 19th and 20th. We're looking at having a retreat, or proposal here today is to have a retreat with the staff and lab to do a strategic plan and plan of action for the next year, and then come back to our listeners, to all the constituencies, and discuss with them what would be the main objectives and focus for KPFK over the next year. Let me give you a couple of updates. The transmitter project, as many of you know, I want to thank people for sending me their letters and encourage you to keep sending your letters. The measurement was done by an independent engineer this week. We're waiting for the data. KUSC has agreed to pay for the engineer to do that. And as soon as we have more information, we will let you know. If we don't resolve the situation between KUSC and KPFK before October 12th, then we will file a petition against KUSC and ask the FCC not to provide them with a permit to broadcast on our frequency, broadcast from Mexico into the United States. And let me give you a couple of updates about fund drive or development at the station with regards to fund drive. The fund drive date now would be October 22nd to November 1st. The reason for that was there's so much going on at the station, and everybody felt that they needed more time to organize and make sure that we don't have another crisis, so we've been prepared for the fundraiser. So October 22nd till November 1st, that's 11 days. The extra day was suggested by the staff so that we could raise more money with regards to budget cut that we're currently going through. We are in the process of finishing off our telemarketing campaign, and those listeners that were called LAPS members, we did a campaign with LAPS members that lapsed between 1998 to 2001. The direct mail campaign is on its way, and we're about to start a major donor campaign this week. In terms of program changes, current program changes, I hope you've all been listening to the drive time. We started the Peace Watch program as a daily program. Now it's the national show carried by the Pacifica stations to bring all of us in touch with what's going on around the world, Iraq, the United States with regards to the war. We will also be starting in the next couple of weeks a daily election program where we can educate all our listeners until a week after the elections. We'll give you more information on that. So Michio Kaku was removed from the air. That unfortunately didn't happen. It was a scheduling problem. We're bringing him back to the airwaves next week. To enable us to do that, we needed to open up another slot. So we're removing Cooper's rebroadcast on Sundays. Because of the Peace Watch program, we had to move some people around in the afternoon drive. So on Mondays now, between 5 and 6, you will have Susie Weissman. On Tuesdays, you'll have Michael Flake. On Wednesdays, you have Jerry Quigley. On Thursdays, John Wiener. John Wiener loses one day in that slot in drive time. And Jerry Quigley again on Fridays. Ian Nassis for now has been taken out of the 4-5 slot because of the Peace Watch program. We're moving somewhere else on the schedule. We've had three complaints, one against Ian Masters. We're still trying to resolve the complaint. We're meeting with him this week. The complaint was from Bernie Eisenberg, so we're waiting for the response from Ian Masters. We're meeting with him on Monday. We had a complaint from the National Association of the Italian-American Community for a promo that we broadcasted where we did a voiceover of, with a jump hosting for PD, I think, imitating the Italian gangster,
The Godfather.
So,
it's pretty bad.
Yeah, well, we apologize for that and hope that we'll, you know, be in good faith about that. The reason why they filed a complaint is that they felt that we portrayed the Italian-American community as gangsters. The Pacifica Matters complaint, I addressed that with several members, I think, about the morning show using the Pacifica Matters without involving KPFK Matters, I'm sorry, without involving...
Okay, we have to extend your time again. No.
3 minutes.
3 minutes. The bylaws program of KPFK Matters, how we do it is there's a production committee, they work with management, and we've re-emphasized that to staff that if they want to participate in that, they need to talk to our interim program manager that will then communicate with the bylaws committee. Let me see.
What was the complaint?
The complaint was that the bylaws program was done in the morning show without any communication or input from the bylaws committee. The positions we currently hiring for, as you know, we have search committees for PD, news director, development director. There's also other positions that's been posted for 30 days that we now will be hiring for. That's the interim news editor, the interim operations manager, and the interim webmaster position. I'm sorry, the webmaster position and operations manager position are temporary positions. News editor is an interim position. We have openings, further personnel updates,
You're hiring an interim, you're posted, I think we're hiring an interim news director?
We've posted for 30 days already the positions for news editor, operations manager, and webmaster.
Or not interim?
No. These positions were interim and temporary, so we're looking at hiring for permanent now. The volunteer coordinator, Keola Kama, has resigned on Tuesday with immediate effect, and Esther Mania, program assistant, has resigned and will be leaving the station on next week, Friday. Is there more time on the agenda to go through the budget items, Lydia?
There is, yes. Item 13.
But did you finish the personnel?
You
went through the memo?
Yeah, I think I went through the major stuff. I think that's it. And just to say with regards to the resolutions, I'm always willing to listen, to look, and if there's people that has ideas as to how we move the station forward, proposals, ideas, please just email me.
So are you going to go into budget?
No, I'm not going to go into budget right now. There's a budget item.
Oh, okay.
So I just want to, again.
Okay.
Yeah, I'll go to the budget later on the agenda item.
Okay.
I think that's all for right now. This is the key issue.
All right, I have a specific question.
I have okay. Specific
we
question.
We have 1 minute left.
Okay. Farah, and then Tom.
Right. I have two questions. One is, so far, how, you know, I want to know so far how the decisions regarding changes as far as the staff in the station and also regarding changes in the programming has been made. Have you just made it by yourself or have you consulted to somebody else?
All the staff changes were made in consultation with the union. Every position was discussed and agreed upon with the union. Program changes, every program change that we've made with the
union. As far as listeners, local advisory board, I don't mean the union. And which union, by the way?
AFTRA.
Oh, okay.
The union.
You
said UE. No, I said that we still have a UE contract. AFTRA doesn't have a contract in place that we can put a proposal on the table so that we can negotiate a new contract.
So without a contact with AFTRA, you consulted with them about the changes within the...
We are honoring the UE contract that AFTRA and the previous management in 2000 negotiated on but never signed the contract. So we're still honoring that contract.
Right.
It's a UE contract that was just accepted by AFTRA.
Yeah, but anyways, I mean, as far as listeners' lab input, how have you so far made your decisions?
About staff?
About the staff and programming changes.
Staff changes are done through the union process.
No, I mean local. How did you get listeners' local advisory board input?
There's a process.
That's my question.
Okay. We have to rely also on processes that hopefully everybody on the lab is familiar with, including the memo from Dan Coughlin in July about lab staff relations, where it does not specify consultation in relation to staff changes. It does specify notification, does not set a timeline for that notification. We did discuss, I can say, at the meeting, there was an impromptu meeting with Dan Coughlin two nights ago, and at that time we did request that we be emailed the information rather than having it verbalized to various entities on the lab, and that I would receive the email, as would Marty Oaklander. Whoever gets it first will put it out to the lab, and that by inference it allows a timeline for us to respond, but it is not a formal consultation as such. So there's nothing has been put in place for anything beyond that.
So my question is, because from what I remember, when Eva was giving the interview to the listeners and yourself as the lab chair, it was understood, although it wasn't written, as you're saying it's not written, that the local advisory board was basically to be working as an advisory body to issues such as changing in programming and such as changes in the staff or issues that they have. Now, you're saying that up to this point, Eva was not needed to do this. She could just
no,
do it
you
on
have her. That lab, that memo that was a something that came out of something that started before I was chair, that was discussed with all the lab chairs and all the general managers and with Dan Coughlin, and that's how that memo was developed.
So
if you do not have it, I would be happy to send you a copy of that, and that is the current formulation. Obviously, a great deal of things are going to be changing in the future based on bylaws and other mechanisms that we can discuss at a later date.
Can I have the mic? Yes, you can, but let me try and finish my answer.
No, this has to do with
can
Lydia.
I try and finish my answer? That
yeah, let her finish, and then you can address me, and then we need to hear from Tom.
Yeah, the issue with regards to hiring was that there's search committees for all of the major management positions. That's happening. That was simply for PD position, business manager, and development director. I also included at that point the news director position, so that has listener lab staff unpaid, and so all the constituencies are involved there. With regards to changes, the current changes that has taken place at the station with regards to staff was a matter of budgetary issues. The budget was presented to the lab, and then other than that, there's the union process through which we work through. So in that regard, that's how decisions were made. With regards to programming decisions, every program except for national programming was made because of proposals that came from the collectors that was instituted.
We're talking about local.
Yes, local programming, those come through the collectors. Proposals that come from the collectors.
So all the changes that have happened were through collectors?
It's been because of proposals from the collectors.
Which has been reported in previous meetings. For example, when Blaise Montaigne received his show back, it came out of the Peace and Diversity Collective. It was under their recommendation. The recommendations to the Latino block was also from the Latino collective. We actually wrote it out with the 60, most of the 65 members of that collective present.
So it's like day to day, when you change one today and reinstate it the next day, that's through collective proposals?
Okay. Tara is actually raising a very legitimate point, and I don't think it has to be cloudy. Farah is raising a very legitimate point. The board feels that we often get news of importance after the fact. And I'm very pleased that Eva, in a meeting with Dan Coughlin, with the Personnel Committee and other board members, has agreed to keep us in the loop prior to some decisions that might be made. So Farah is asking, has the board, for instance, been in the loop, or have we at times read fundamentally important news items on the internet after the fact? And the answer, of course, is yes. I mean, Esther Mania is a good example, but I don't want to dredge up, because we've moved ahead, I think, in this process very importantly. Eva, Dan Coughlin, our chair, the board has agreed that we will be in the loop and get consulted over important issues prior to them happening, so that there can be a consultation and ideas can be bounced around before a decision is made. So I think Farah is raising an important issue, and I think there is a resolution, and I think we do have cooperation. That consultation is going to...
Right. The consultation is not spelled out, as you can see from what Dan Coughlin put out. What was agreed to the other night, for example, what we had discussed, was notification in a timely enough manner so that there can be reciprocal input. It does not mean that if you take 6 months before you decide to give your input, that a decision is going to be waiting for you. But anyway, so... I was not implying that every single programming decision has come out of collective, but some of the main ones that we have seen lately certainly have. One of the collectives became a permanent program. I think that we were all aware of that change that was announced this week as well. However,